Hello, I'm Odong Daniela and you're listening to Honey with a Knife. I found the most fascinating quotes in history and sliced right through them to reveal their origins, significance, and the people responsible for their being. Today's honey is "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent" by Eleanor Roosevelt, supposedly. Can your mind sufficiently discriminate between "I read in the New York Times" and "I heard at the water cooler"? 9 times out of 10, it cannot. Instead, we as humans tend to believe almost anything placed within quotation marks, whether those quotation marks are literal or metaphorical. But what does any of this mind-working mumbo-jumbo have to do with Eleanor Roosevelt, you ask? Well, take a moment and think about this. How sure can you really be that Eleanor Roosevelt ever said the exact words, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent"? Is there any evidence of that, or a recorded speech, perhaps, of her saying them? I mean, sure, she was a diplomat and an activist and a United Nations spokeswoman. And we definitely cannot ignore the fact that she served as the First Lady throughout her husband, President Franklin D. Roosevelt's 4 terms in office. That was from 1933 to 1945. But yet none of that proves that she said the exact words that we have credited her with saying for decades now. I simply refuse to be another statistic. I refuse to believe that this quote was hers in the making, simply because it is placed within quotation marks and tagged with her name at the end of them. So I went ahead and pulled out my cape, hood, and magnifying glass, and I got right on the case. First, I found a quotation dictionary that claimed that the quote was in the autobiography "This Is My Story" by Roosevelt. But after reading through the entire autobiography, I still couldn't find it. And so you must have expected this. I dug deeper. I found out that quotation experts Rosalie Maggio and Ralph Kays have explored the origins of the saying as well. Not so surprisingly, after examining all the books and archived writings authored by the First Lady in her lifetime, there were no traces of the quote. The crazier thing is that this quote has been attributed to Roosevelt for over 70 years. This alone screams statistics to me. Still, let's look at the earliest known example of the quote's attribution to Roosevelt. This was in the widely distributed Reader's Digest in September of 1940. The magazine published this edition crediting the aphorism to Roosevelt with no supporting reasons as to when or why it was said. The quote stood alone at the bottom of a page with an unrelated article above it. At this moment, it began to dawn on me that there was a possibility that Roosevelt never actually said those words. So I began to look for any statements she may have made that contained core ideas of the quote embedded in them. And I stumbled upon an awkward event in 1935. Picture this. It is the charter day of the University of California and Berkeley. The Secretary of Labor in the Roosevelt administration has been invited to give a speech. But the lady meant to be the host of the event isn't happy that the secretary has been chosen as a guest speaker since he is a political figure. She feels that the guest speaker should have been someone outside of the political spectrum, and so she refuses to serve as the host that day. And her action is of course negatively viewed by the media as a rebuff or an insult. This defines the awkward event in 1935. At a White House press conference, Eleanor Roosevelt was asked whether the Secretary of Labor had been snubbed. Her response to this question later appeared in several newspapers that were widely disseminated. The First Lady gave her definition of a snub, and I quote, "A snub is the effort of a person who feels superior to make someone else feel inferior. To do so, he has to find someone else who can be made to feel inferior." I unquote. She made it crystal clear that she did not think the secretary fell within the category of people who could be termed as snubbable. We can note that Roosevelt's statement, made in 1935, contains key elements of the quotation that was assigned to her by 1940. One person may try to make a second person feel inferior, but this second person can resist and simply refuse to feel inferior. In this example, the labor secretary refused to consent to feeling inferior. The precise wording of the statement Roosevelt made varied in several publications that followed. It appeared differently in a syndicated newspaper column called So They Say. However, it seems that on an unknown day between 1935 and 1940, some unknown person synthesized a compact and stylish quote based on the commentary made by Eleanor Roosevelt, and that quote, which they came up with, was later published in the Reader's Digest. And it is that popular quote which we know today. It is also possible that Roosevelt reformulated the quote herself, but there is no evidence to support that possibility. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. These words appeared with credit to Roosevelt several times after, in a newspaper from Iowa, an Alaska newspaper, the widely read syndicated column of Walter Winchell, all giving credit to Roosevelt. The mystery does not end there, though. In what I hope is a final plot twist, the core ideas of the quote appear in a quotation made 97 years before Eleanor Roosevelt uttered anything in relation to it. In 1838, precisely 97 years before Eleanor Roosevelt supposedly made the statement, the American clergyman William Ellery Channing said the following: "No power in society, no hardship in your condition can depress you, keep you down in knowledge, power, virtue, influence, but by your own consent." End of quote. But let us totally ignore the fact that this quotation seems to be Roosevelt's inspiration for her quote. Let us simply assume that Roosevelt and William Ellery Channing were two great minds inclined in thinking alike. But did Eleanor Roosevelt ever really say, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent"? Well, before I get to the honey of it all, I'd like to draw the moral from this quote. What can we take away from it? This quote is quite simple, actually. It's built upon the principle of self-esteem. It tells us that as long as we have the locus, as long as we have the location of happiness and control within us, then we control our complexes, whether those complexes are inferior or superior. It tells us that we can choose to be reactive or proactive, which means we can choose to go along with the flow and let other people put us down, or we can choose to be setters or determiners of the environment and determiners of what we think of ourselves. So in short, it's basically telling us that we are in charge of how we feel, we are in charge of how we look at ourselves, whether we choose to put ourselves down because of circumstances or people around us, or we choose to rise up above them and ignore all the circumstances, ignore our surroundings, and set our own environment. So we can choose to either make ourselves feel superior in a positive way or inferior in a negative way. So in conclusion, did Eleanor Roosevelt really say no one can make you feel inferior without your consent? Yes and no. No, because not once did she utter the exact words that are placed within the infamous quotation marks. But yes, because without Eleanor Roosevelt, who knows, that quote would have never been brought to life. Or if it was, it would have been uttered in another way at another point in history other than 1935. Thanks for listening and taking this hopefully intriguing journey with me. Join me next time as I continue to take a deeper look into the most fascinating historical phrases that are shaping our present world and our future. I'm Odong Danila, and this has been Honey with a Knife.